You're happy to be in worship, midweek worship? Amen. Hallelujah, church. Did we pay attention when we were singing the songs this evening? Hallelujah. There's no one like Jesus Christ, church. There's no one like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is my portion. He is my salvation. Amen, church. Is he your portion? Is he your salvation? Is he your refuge? Is he your rock? Is he your redeemer, church? Amen. There's no one like Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, church, you can put your trust in Jesus Christ. There is no one better to put your trust in than Jesus Christ. He is the only solution that we have in this world. There's no greater solution than Jesus Christ. The hope, the blessed hope, the living hope that God sent to us. And his name is Jesus Christ. Never forget that. Never forget your hope lies in Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ alone. I want to read a verse that many of us know, but pay attention to it. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Amen, church? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not half-heartedly. With all your heart. Never lean on your own understanding. It's not enough. But trust in the Lord. Submit to him. Obey him. And he says he'll make your path straight. Can I testify to that, church? He makes our path straight. He's the only one I've ever known to guide my life perfectly. When I let him. I've went on so many different paths in life. In paths I should have never went on. But if I follow the Lord, he never leads me astray. He makes them as straight as an arrow. Always. There is no one better than Jesus Christ, church. There is no one better than Jesus Christ. See, there are many Christians today moving left and right in their life, not staying on the straight path which God lays out for us. See, listen to me. See, we look on the right of our life and we say, "Wow, I like that. I like what I see over there." Or we look to the left and we say, "Wow, I want that. I gotta have that." And listen to me, we don't stay on the path that God wants for us. Can I tell you, just a little look sometimes leads us so far away from God. One little take, one little taste sometimes leads us so far away from God. There are too many Christians too far from God. Too far from where God wants them in their life. See, listen to me, the right and the left sometimes can look so appetizing to us. It can seem like the best option, but can I tell you that the straight and narrow path is always the best path to be on, the path that God wants you to be on. Remember this, church. See, there are many things that lead us away from God. Many things in this world that lead us so far away from God. So far away from God and where he wants us to be in our life. So let me ask you a question, church. Let me ask you this question. Listen to it closely. Are you on the straight path? Are you where God wants you to be in your life? Examine your life. Ask God right now. Ask God, "Am I where I need to be? Am I on the straight path you've laid out?" We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Maybe a king you've never heard about. We're going to do a little bit of learning today. Hopefully we're okay with that in the house of the Lord. Learning about God's word. There's nothing like God's word, church. It's so beautiful. There's so much information. There's so much hope and peace. And solutions to problems that we face in this world. In the word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Let me give you a little bit of context. You had two kings before the king we're going to talk about, Josiah. You had the king Manasseh, bad king. He did very, very evil things. Can I just sum it up? He worshipped false gods. And I'll go to the extreme. He sacrificed his own children to them. Evil, evil king. His son wasn't the greatest either. So you have King Manasseh, and then you have King Amon. There's not a whole lot written about King Amon. Just really a few verses, but listen to me. It says in verse 22 in chapter 33, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord as his father Manasseh had done. He worshipped false gods. He worshipped the things he wasn't. Listen to me. He was so bad, his own officials didn't even like him. They assassinated him. They killed him. And then the people killed them. Whole mess. That's what evil does. It's a mess. Evil's a mess. And you see, and then Amon's son takes over, King Josiah. Let's see what King Josiah is. Chapter 31, starting in verse 1. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Listen to me, this king is young, 8 years old. Can you imagine your 8-year-olds running a whole nation? What, I don't know what kids do today. Everything would probably be about Minecraft or who knows. 8 years old. Now, granted, during the time, most children about 12 were considered to be men back then. People didn't live very long. So about 12, you were a man at 12. You had to be a man at 12 years old. That's pretty young. But still, 8 years old is young for a king. 8 years old. But what's written about him? He did right in the eyes of the Lord. His grandfather didn't. His father didn't. Can I tell you, King Josiah had every reason really to do evil. That's what he saw. That's all he knew. He saw his grandfather probably, if he was born yet. And he definitely saw his father do evil, worship false gods, sacrifice to false gods. But what does it say? He did right. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Listen to me. You do not have to let your family dictate your life when it comes to sin. You do not have to let your family make you sin. King Josiah had every reason, really, to just do everything that his fathers did. But he said, that is not what God wants for me. Listen to me, church. There's a lot of generational sin. A lot of people committing the same sins their fathers and their grandfathers and the fathers before that. I know some of you today are the break in that chain. Listen to me, church. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's some of you today have broken that family sin, that chain. And you have the obligation and the privilege to lead your own children in the ways of the Lord now. To start a new chain. Isn't that an amazing thing to get to do? Knowing the past, that your family kept doing these same sins over and over and over again. But God redeemed you from that life. Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. And you do not have to let your family decide for you whether or not you're going to sin. You don't have to let them do it. You can allow Jesus to come into your life and make your path straight. It says here, it says, not turning aside to the right or to the left. I think this king for 8 years old, he's a bold king. This is a bold king. I'm not going to let these people, my father's past, dictate whether or not I do what is right in the Lord's eyes. Can I ask you a question, church? Are you committing the same sins your family has committed for years and years of your life? Are you doing the same thing your father and mother did? Can I tell you, you can break the chain through Jesus Christ. But listen to me when I tell you, you can only break that chain through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. He was young. He did what was right. He was bold. He didn't move right or to the left. Let's see all the things he does. In verse 3, it says, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles and idols under his direction. The altars of Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Asherah poles and the idols. These he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the priests on the altars, and he purged Judah and Jerusalem in the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, In the ruins around them, he tore down the altars and the Asherah poles and crushed the idols to powder and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. This king does a lot. All the idols his grandfather and his father put up, the high places, the things that were completely against God, this young king tears them all down. Everything. I like what he says about there in verse 7. He tore down the altars and the Asherah poles and crushed the idols to powder. Crushed the idols to powder. And cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. See, listen to me when I tell you, the king, this is the king who did not waver. Can I tell you, we need more Christians today who do not waver? Who do not waver to the left or to the right. But listen to me when I tell you, it is so hard sometimes to remove the worldly things in our life. It can be so difficult at times. It's so easy to sin. Isn't it? Especially now. We have these phones at our fingertips. Can I tell you, pornography websites are searched more than social media websites. Isn't that a crazy thing? Sin is so easily at our fingertips, not just our phones. Everywhere. It is so easy, and it would have been so easy for Josiah just to say, who cares? Who cares that there's idols raised up? Who cares if there's sin over here or sin over there? It could have been so easy, but he said, sin is serious. Did you hear me, church? Sin is serious. And this king took it seriously. He didn't sweep it under the rug. See, there's many of us today are sweeping sins under the rug. I know that's hard to hear, church, but listen to me very closely. Just because you sweep it under the rug doesn't mean the dirt's still not under the rug. It's still dirty. I remember I would take all the trash and everything and I'd shove it under my bed and I would put it in the closet and I'd say, Mom, my room's clean. My room's clean. It wasn't clean. She would come in and she would say, well, did you get under the bed? Oh, no. Did you clean out your closet? No. And guess what? I still had to go pick up the trash that I hid, that I thought I would get away with. Listen to me. You don't get away with sin. You don't. It's serious. It's a serious thing. And listen to me. I want to just, leaders of this church, listen to me closely. This is a good model of leadership. This king, we're a lot of leaders. You don't have to have a role here in this church. You have you be a leader of your family or someone at work or whatever. This is a good model to follow. It wouldn't be good at your work if you just kept sweeping the problems under the rug. This was a king that took care of it. Took care of the problems that he has. And listen to me, he knew who to turn to, didn't he? What does it say here? It says in verse 3, it says in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still, he began to seek the God of his father David. He began to seek the Lord. We need more Christians seeking the Lord. We need more believers seeking the Lord, trusting in the Lord, leaning on the Lord. We need more Christians doing what King Josiah does here. Taking care of the sin. Removing the worldly things from our lives. Seeking the Lord. Lord's will of our lives. We've got to be seeking the Lord. Verse 16. I'm going to skip down a few. We got a little bit to read, but he has the temple rebuilt. You know, he's polishing up a lot of the buildings that were in ruin, and he has some money going in. That's kind of what's happening. And then verse 14, let's go with verse 14. It says, while they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan. Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, your officials are doing everything that had been committed to them. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and has entrusted it to the supervisors and workers. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. Listen to me closely, church. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Abdon, son of Micah, Shaphan the secretary, and Asa, the king's attendant, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant in Israel and Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us, because those who have gone before us have not kept the word of the Lord. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written in this book. Listen to me. Let's review what is happening. They found a book of the law. Most people believe it was the book of Deuteronomy, which makes a lot of sense by the promised destruction that would happen if they did exactly what the kings before him did, which was follow the false gods. God said that I'd hand you over to the enemy. You'd be captured. And King Josiah gets it right here. He understands it. I love this verse here where it says, he tore his robes. What does that mean? Mourning. He mourned over the sin that his father and his grandfather committed, the people of the land committed. You ever been so broken over sin in your life? Did you hear me, church? Have you ever been so broken about the sin in your life, or the sin that's around your life? King Josiah is broken. He's broken for the sin. Listen to me. He weeps for the sin of what his father and grandfather had committed. And he says, what does he say? He says, go inquire of the Lord. Go find out what the Lord's going to say to me. It says, great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us, because those who have gone before us have not kept the word of the Lord. Let me ask you a question, church. Are you keeping the word of the Lord? That's a hard question. Are you keeping the word of the Lord? Are you following all of his commands? All of his decrees? Can I tell you they're all good? Amen? They're all good. They're all good, perfect, and pleasing to us if we follow them, if we apply it to our life. I love how he tore his robes over the sin. He listened to the word of God. There's many Christians today not listening to the word of God. We might read it, but if we do not apply the word of God to our lives, it means nothing. It doesn't mean anything if you read about the sin of your life and you do nothing about it. Weep over the sin of your life. Mourn over the sins you've committed. Confess the sins that you've committed. He realized that Judah had not kept the word of the Lord. Could you imagine, for all this time, they probably never even really glimpsed at the word of God. They found it in the temple. Reading everything that they've done. And God says, I'm bringing destruction. Can I tell you something, church? Listen to me closely. Sin brings destruction. Sin has serious consequences. Sin is not a joke. It is a very devastating thing to many, many families. Many, many families. Have you ever not kept the word of the Lord? Have you ever said, not today? I'll deal with my sin tomorrow. Can I tell you, sometimes tomorrow never comes. There's a lot of people saying, I'll deal with the sins. I'll deal with what God wants tomorrow. God wants you to deal with the sin of your life today. Today. And you see this from this king. He weeps today. He's broken over the sin. There's not enough Christians today broken over the sin of their life. Have you ever been reading the Word of God and just broken when you read something and you realize, man, I have been so far off. I've been there, church. I have been reading the Word of God. Wow, I've not loved like I should have. Wow, I've not forgiven like I should have. And so on and so on. Have you ever been broken over the sin of your life? See, sin is no joke. It's not a game. I've said it plenty of times. And the reason why I keep saying it is because it is so easy to fall into sin. There's many of us today, even in this own room, playing with sin, messing with sin. It's not a joke. It's not a good thing. You see the devastation. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us. Can I tell you, the Lord gets angry over sin. It's a righteous anger. It's an anger that we couldn't ever have. But he gets angry over sin. Verse 22. Let's see what happens. It says, Hilkiah and those the king had sent with him went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tokath, and son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people. All the curses written in the book that has been read in the presence of the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused the anger by all that their hands have made, my anger will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God, when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Now I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place and all those who live here. Listen to me when I tell you, you've got to let the Word of God change you. He didn't know what the Word of God said. Then it was read to him. And then he did something about it. And I love what the prophet here says. It says, because you wept for me, because you tore your robes in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Can I tell you that when you're broken over your sin, God hears you? When you're broken over the sins of your family, God hears you. See, King Josiah seems like he's doing all good. He's a good king, but he stands in the gap for his own nation and weeps and tears his clothes over the sin. But God said, this is hard, church, but listen closely. The disaster's still coming. That promised disaster. Why? They broke the covenant. They broke their covenant with God. But God so graciously says, King Josiah, you won't see any of it. In fact, I'm going to bury you in peace. Isn't that an amazing thing for the Lord to do? He's the king, and he stands in the gap. He weeps over the sin of his own nation. This is a leader, a good, godly leader. So, man, listen to me closely. The sin your wife commits, the sin you commit, the sin your children commit, you ought to weep over it. Did you hear me? You ought to weep over the sins of your family. You ought to weep over the sins of your country's sin. You know that God listens to you? Can you believe that? Let our minds wrap around it for just a moment. God actually listens to you when you weep over the sin. When you're broken over the sin. See, he listened to the Word of God. And listen to me, he let the Word of God change him. Are you letting the Word of God change you when you read it? Are you letting God change you? Can I tell you, that's what the Word of God does. It can't help but change you if you listen to it. It can't help but sometimes convict. But wow, does it always seem to correct us? Can I tell you that? It never just leaves us in a state of I'm doomed. There's always hope. And there's only hope in Jesus Christ. We ought to humble ourselves today. Humble ourselves today and weep over the sins that we commit. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. Do not be so proud to think that you haven't. But But be humble. Confess your sins. Not to a priest, not to a pastor. Confess it to Jesus Christ, the one who can take it all away. Did you hear me, church? The one who can remove it and cast it as far as the weep, as far as the east is from the west. When we weep over sin, God hears us. That's important to understand, church. Verse 29. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord, and the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and Levites, all the people from the least to the greatest, he read in the hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all of his heart and all of his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. Then he had everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin pledge themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God and the God of their ancestors. Josiah removed all the detestable idols from all the territory belonging to the Israelites. And he had all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God as long as he lived. They did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their ancestors. This was a king, a good, godly king. We need more good, godly men and women. More good, godly Christians. Who says, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to keep his commands. I'm going to keep his statutes, his decrees with all of my heart and all of my soul. That's something deeper than just a rule book. That's trusting in the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's putting your faith in Jesus Christ. When you follow him with all of your heart, when you follow him with all of your soul and with all of your mind, there's nothing greater to give yourselves to God. Nothing greater. Let the word of God change you. Let it penetrate your heart. Let it actually do something in your life. Many of us are struggling with the same thing over and over and over again. Let the word of God do something. Let it do something. Amen, church. Amen. He followed him with all of his heart. Is there sin in your life? Is there sin in your life that needs to be destroyed? That needs to be torn down like those Asherah poles or burnt at the false altars and the idols and all that? Do you have sin in your life that needs torn down? Listen to me when I tell you, church, Jesus Christ can only be the one that tears it down. He's the only one strong enough in your life to remove the sin. He's the only one big enough to remove the sin of your life. He is so big enough, church, he's removed all of it. He died on the cross for the whole world, that all men and women might be saved. You know you serve an amazing God. An amazing God who loves us so much that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is why we're here, church. Don't be too proud to say you're not a sinner. Humble yourselves. And go to God and tell God, I'm a sinner. I need your grace and I need your mercy. And listen to me closely, church, please. The Lord is willing. The Lord abounds in grace. The Lord abounds in mercy. There's no one who gives grace like God does. There's no one who gives mercy like God does. Don't you put your hope in the world. Don't you trust in the left or the right. Trust in the straight path which God lays out for us. Trust in the one who actually has power. Who actually is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to read a few verses. Listen to them closely. Psalms 103:8 through 12 says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And 1 John 2:1-2 says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen, church. This is Jesus Christ who you serve. The one who atones for sins, our advocate with the Father, who intercedes for you and I. So if you mess up, if you sin, deal with it with Jesus Christ. Proverbs says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And you find that through Jesus Christ. You find that through Jesus Christ, the righteous one. His name is Jesus Christ. Listen to me, church, when I tell you, this message is all about following Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things in here, good godly leadership's in here. But listen to me, it ultimately comes down to this. Are you following Jesus Christ? Are you have faith in Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in the Lord? That's why I read that verse. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. That's a promise, church. That is a promise. That's a promise from the Lord. Do you need to renew your covenant with the Lord? Do you need to renew your covenant with God? Maybe you've been slipping since salvation. Praise the Lord, if you got Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about losing your salvation. But have you been slipping from God's hand because of the sins you've committed? Can I tell you, it doesn't always take years of your life. Sometimes God works with you, but sometimes, listen to me, God's powerful enough to remove the sin today. He is. And cast it as far as the east is from the west. There's no one like him. Are you following Christ? Are you staying on the straight path? See, some of us today got a lot of bitterness in our hearts. Got a lot of bitterness in our hearts. Upset at this person because of what they did. Not forgiving this person. Having some grudges here, some grudges there. Listen to me, that doesn't get you closer with God. Being upset at somebody, being angry at somebody, doesn't get you any closer to God. God wants to deal with that today. Some of you got some bitterness in your hearts. Too proud to admit you need God to change you. Don't be too proud to let God to change you. Listen to me, you let God change you, I can almost bet you'll be surprised where he puts you. Can some of you testify to that? Letting God change you and where he's put you today. He baffles me every day, church. With his grace and his mercy. All you got to do is be willing to say, God, I'll go. God, if you don't want this in my life anymore, take it. And the Lord is so willing to take it. So let me ask you the question again. Are you where God wants you to be? Let's stay in church. I know this might be a harder message, but sin is hard.